check, baby, 1, 2.
Oh, wait, that's not how it goes.
You're listening to Open Roads Broadcasting.
Hello and welcome to the Sprocket Podcast, where we simplify the good life. My name is Brock Dittus.
Update Audacity with that plugin.
Oh, yeah.
I'm Aaron Flores, broadcasting from the People's Republic of Portland, nestled in the heart of Cascadia. That is a joke that only you and I understand.
Yeah, that was part of the run sheet that we're not supposed to read.
Right.
Where am I supposed to be now? What am I supposed to say?
We are the show that brings
Right. Yeah, we're the show that brings you somewhat irreverent conversations about the intricacies of thinking locally with a global perspective and enjoying the best that life has to offer along the way, such as.
That was beautiful right then.
Thanks.
Such as that beer and bicycling and trains and transit and simpler living. And today, humanity.
Bikes against humanity.
How many times have people come in and said that to you guys?
It's almost come out of my mouth a couple times.
Okay.
It actually has a couple times.
The fun card game that's a little bit wacky and not safe for your
nihilism
parents.
Is hilarious.
Yeah. So we are here with Andrew Shawkitch from Bikes for Humanity.
Thank you.
PDX. Yes. And Scott Anselmo. How's it going today?
Quite excellent.
Excellent. Thank you both for coming in. It's good to have you here, and looking forward to hearing about your organization because it is a fantastic organization.
Well, thank you.
I would like to share that yesterday I rode my bike 100 miles, actually about 110, maybe 115 all told.
Because the getting to the start
point. Yes.
And coming home from the end point.
Yeah, it was Nathan Jones's multimodal century. So we rode south down towards Canby. We took two boats.
What?
Because it's boat month.
Nice.
To wrap up boat month, just let me say that I took two boats on Sunday.
I'm fucking jealous.
Yeah, it was great. It cost $2 for a boat ride on the Canby Ferry, and then it cost $1 per person on the Wheatland Ferry. We went through Shampooey State Park, which is way cooler than I remembered it to be. It's a great spot. They have awesome bike camping. And then we also went to Willamette Mission State Park, which offers bike camping but no standard campground. So you could go down there and be all alone.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
Yeah. No annoying campers in RVs. No generators because there's no place for them. Just disc golfers and equestrians and that sort of thing. But that's awesome. You'd hear the ferry running sometime in the morning. But it was great. So anyways, we rode 100 miles, and I wore the Team Sincerity uniform, which, of course, is punk rock Mormon missionaries.
Yeah, with tie and button-up college shirt.
Shirt and tie. And I wore a vest this time, which is probably not strictly part of the Mormon uniform. But
I don't think you're allowed to wear a vest as a elder.
Probably not. But if you look closely at my nameplate, it says clearly not Mormon. So
that's true.
Yeah, it all works out okay. The vest I wore, I chose the vest because I bought a double XL shirt or something. It was super big. And when we ripped the sleeves off of them, I just kind of ripped it kind of helter skelter. So now the entire shirt is falling apart. So I wore the vest to hold the shirt together because it had the collar that I needed to look classy.
Right.
So anyways, that was done. And I rode a boat because it was boat month.
Motherfucker.
That's right. I was on. Never thought I'd be on a boat. It was a good time. I felt the funny thing was it was like a long ride, and I was sore and tired at various parts of it. But I was also, I think, towards the end, after we got on the max. And there's nothing like riding 100 miles and then riding the max with 15 other people. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
You just filled the thing up.
All of your bikes together, you just rode.
Yep.
Put them on the max and everything.
We loaded down the light rail.
Nice.
It became heavy rail when we got on. But no, it was kind of fun. I guess I was going to say something. It's probably not that interesting. But that was your question.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. I was going to say, I just felt at the end, something in my body flipped over where I was kind of tired and I was really ready to be done. But then after the max ride, we rode from there down to our house and slightly downhill from the Gateway Transit Center where we got off the train. But I felt like I could have kept on going.
You're like, I can conquer the world.
Seriously. Yeah. But then this morning I felt like, oh, I can't, I can barely bike to work. So
I'm not conquering anything. Yeah.
So anyways, that was what I did with my weekend. It was a good time. And what did you do, sir?
One thing I did was I took apart my wheels, the ones I built.
Right, because you got tired of rims.
Because, motherfucker, yeah.
The worst rims.
Velocity blunts, well, they're tubeless ready. And I guess anything that's like tubeless ready is really tight on a clincher tire. But, you know, that's what I ride with. And I was thinking of going tubeless and then decided against it. Now I want nothing to do with tubeless rims or anything.
Yeah. Well, maybe that's a good choice.
Yeah. So took them apart. I'm going to sell these on Craigslist for like $40 or something. I don't want anything to do with these rims.
Yeah. Well, you sent me several text messages just saying like, you know, like,
fuck.
Yeah. Yeah. Multiple swears.
Yes.
All the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're done with those and you're just going to gonna rebuild the wheels then?
Yeah. I'm going to get... I've never thought I would shop by rims or shop for rims by, what is it? The ERD.
Okay. I don't know what that means.
It's the rim diameter.
Okay.
So the distance from the hub to the rim.
Gotcha.
So that you know how long your spokes are.
Okay.
Since I've already got the spokes, I was like shopping for like the perfect rim to still like have most of my hardware.
Okay. Is that like looking for a good horse for your already existing cart?
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly. I've got this cart. I need a horse.
Beautiful.
Yeah, did that. I'm getting a new set of rims. Put those on order.
Okay.
Now.
Do you have wheels in the meantime? Like, did you ride here today?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I've got my old wheels.
I see.
Like,
okay.
All still put together.
You're in the lucky position of building wheels before you need them.
Yes.
Excellent.
Yes.
Excellent. Well, as opposed to me.
Yeah, I originally built the wheels like as an experiment.
Oh, right.
You know, and,
okay.
And a failed one, apparently.
No, let's not call it a fail. Let's say that you learned.
I learned not to use tubeless ready rims
with
a tubed tire.
Yeah, yeah.
Or at least not a narrow one.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, yeah, so there was that. And then today, this is not related to bikes, but this is something that I feel the need to share with our audience.
Okay.
So for my job, I often get my feet stepped on. Because, you know, I'm helping
metaphorically or physically?
In this case, physically.
Okay.
Literally.
Right.
Get my feet stepped on.
Yes.
You know, I'm transferring or helping transfer from like wheelchair to bed or wheelchair to van, this and that.
Okay.
And
you're moving people from one place to another.
Yeah. I often get my feet stepped on.
Okay.
Sometimes they also get run over by electric wheelchairs, which are heavy. And I think this might be the case. In all honesty, I'm not sure what caused this, but the big toe on my right foot has been aching for some time.
Okay. Oh, is this the gross part?
And yes.
Okay.
Squeamish listeners.
This is your like tune out for 2 minutes warning.
Yeah.
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 Listeners, so, stop listening if you don't like this.
I've been ignoring it like, it'll go away. It's just, you know, bruised or sprained or whatever.
Okay.
It'll go away. And it's just been aching. So finally I decided to like kind of inspect my feet, inspect my big toe.
Okay. And what did you find?
Well, so I kind of, the nail is loose, but it's not like off the skin.
Yeah. Okay.
But every time I touch the nail is like electric shock going up my leg.
Okay. Yeah. How are you guys doing about this? Are you guys squeamish?
You guys all right?
I'm taking it in.
Let's all take a water break
here. Yeah, okay. So it's worse than you thought.
So it's much worse. It's definitely more painful than I expected it to be.
How does that affect your human-powered mobility?
I still ride.
Okay.
Walking's worse.
Okay.
Playing soccer.
I'm not doing that anytime soon. Actually, that might help. That might be like the thing to like because here's what happened is like, so the nail is loose. And so I decide like, well, let me just see what's under there. And like, I kind of move the nail a little and then just all this pus just starts coming out.
Oh man, this is gross.
this is really bad.
So this is why, that's why we told people not to listen to this.
Right.
You were warned.
If you're still listening and you're squeamish, that's on you this time.
You were warned,
That's right.
Okay. So what happens next?
I don't know.
Okay.
I wrapped it in like alcohol-soaked Kleenex, like rubbing alcohol on a Kleenex and just wrapped it
for a while.
Did you get
drunk?
No.
Okay.
No.
All right.
Well, have you ever had an ingrown toenail?
Yeah, yeah.
Because I've had that, and it's like, it's very painful, and then there's the very green pus that accumulates.
This is still graphic.
Yes.
See, I've never had one so bad like that. Maybe that's what all of this is, really, is like it caused the nail to like ingrown or like gouge itself into the nail bed or something.
It's not pretty.
Yeah.
But it's important to talk about, you know?
It is.
These things affect other people.
That's true. There's somebody listening right now that's going like, oh, that's what that is. Yeah. Okay.
And you can send us your feedback at thesprocketpodcast @gmail.com.
Or call in.
Subject line.
503-847-9774.
Really busted up toe. Yeah. Yikes. Okay.
Just a disclaimer, I'm not a doctor. So any medical advice I give you is purely from a layman's perspective.
That's right. But if you're a doctor, look at my elbow. So, yeah.
Look at my toe. It just so happens I do have a doctor's appointment tomorrow for something else.
I was going to ask, are you going to see a trained medical professional?
I'm going to mention that.
Okay.
Well, by the way, while we're here, I just really needed you to sign this paper to say I can work. But while we're here, and since you've got the expertise... Yeah.
And that's better than at a cocktail party.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. Oh, so, you're a proctologist?
Exactly. I've been curious about something. Well, congratulations for I guess is that a life milestone? It's another thing.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, it means my body's working, right? Like
I would assume so.
That's a sign of the body like gathering the infection and putting it into like gross cells to exit
the
body.
That's right. Yeah. Well, hey, let's do this. You know how else you can tell if your body's working?
How's that?
If you can ambulate yourself to the beer mongers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because they provided the beverages we're having tonight. It's the same one, the Vansterdam from Heathen Brewing up in Vancouver. Yes, you're enjoying that, Andrew. I'm drinking, what does it say? A Get Elevated. It's a Red Riot from New Mexico, long ways away. And, there it is. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The ginger brew.
The Portland ginger brew.
Yes. It's
by
one of a kind.
People of Lionheart kombucha.
Lionheart. Do you have it in you? I don't know.
It's great. I'm going to bring that back.
Yeah, exactly. So the beer mongers, thanks again to those folks. It's a great, fabulous spot to have a drink. And always, I would like to say, whenever I go in there, it's always a little bit bustling, a little bit busy, but never too busy. If you've ever been bummed out when you go and visit a bar, you're like, oh, there's no place to sit.
Yes.
Beer mongers, there's always a seat for you. So next time, yes, consider it, wouldn't you? Next time you go in, have a beer there and tell them that the Sprocket Podcast sent you because they'd like that. And we'd like that. So thanks, beer mongers.
There's always a seat for you. That's nice.
I write copy.
Yeah, I was going to say, we're like coming up with their own ad campaigns.
Yeah. Oh, and since I haven't messaged her yet, Krista, take a drink, and I left the pedals for you behind the counter.
So, nice.
Yeah. I had a pair of clipless pedals that my friend Billy had on his bike that he bought. He doesn't have clipless shoes.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
I advised him against them. Yeah, and so he gave them to me. And I was the whole like Facebook free post thing. I was like, hey, I got this stuff. Do you want it? And Krista said yes. So... anyways, they're there. Yes. And you know what? Let me play this now because...
So the sound you're hearing is me pouring my drink into a mug.
That's right, yeah. And you know why that is?
Why is that?
We got mail.
Hey, we got packages.
That's right, yeah. We had a physical package. Usually this is email, but we had a physical package from... this is by way of Sebastian, right? And then I'm scrolling through my email now to try and find Steve S.
Okay.
Steve S. said that our friend Sebastian was aghast that you don't have Sprocket mugs for either you or your guests to imbibe from during the show. So Sebastian, being a man who disdains computers, credit cards, and a litany of many other ordinary things, prevailed upon me to do the logistics of sending the show a couple mugs on his behalf. And I didn't realize that these are the mugs that we have a link to
on our website.
Yeah, exactly. So he went to Spreadshirt and said, hey, let's get some mugs. So now we have two awesome mugs with our logo on them. And if any of you want one, I guess there's a link up there under merch.
Under merch.
Merch.
Is that's the only merch that we have?
Yeah. I think you can get to the... Well, I'll work on the website to make it easy to find. but yeah. So you could get one of those if you wanted it. I am just a pitch man now. And you could also get one of those beer, frosty beer mugs that we sent to Glenn. So there's a couple things to drink from up there, which is really what we're all about. So anyways, thank you.
We're all about having things to drink from.
Thank you, Sebastian, and thank you, Steve S. And this is exciting. So
as an objective third party, it's a very classy mug.
Oh, thank you.
Yes. Thank you.
I'm glad to hear that. Well, I was worried. I didn't know because I am not an objective third party. So,
exactly.
You know. So, well, let's talk about Bikes for Humanity.
All right.
PDX. Is the PDX part of the name or is that just part of the website address?
It is part of the website address. There's a Canadian Bikes for Humanity.
Okay.
There's a Bicycles for Humanity.
Okay.
They send bikes to Africa.
We're
a locally focused.
Right. Gotcha.
We came in about the same time and we got permission from them. So we're
okay.
We're all good.
So, yeah, it's all cool. Because I was thinking that, I was wondering if this would tie into Boat Month because you guys were putting bicycles onto container ships and sending them overseas. But that's not you. That's somebody else. So let's clear that up right now. But tell us about Bikes for Humanity. What does it do?
So we're a bicycle nonprofit. We have a bike school located on Southeast Powell where we host free volunteer mechanics classes on Thursday and Friday nights to get people self-sufficient on their bicycles, get a little bit more confident about fixing their own bike. And then during the week, we have volunteer repair clinics where they can come in and volunteer. In exchange for 2 hours of volunteering, they can have 1 hour personal shop time to work on their own bike. So we have plenty of donations that they can work on and get those bikes refurbished. They go through a whole 100 checkpoint refurbishment process, and then we can redistribute those through our retail store or through a grant project that we have in financial aid.
There we go. So this is kind of like, there's a couple other shops in town that do something similar, but this is very much along the lines of, like you're working very hard to get bicycles under people.
Absolutely.
Yeah, like that's kind of the end goal. So not just like to teach people how to fix their bikes, although that's part of it, and not just about like, hey, let's get bicycle donations, but also like let's teach people how to fix bikes for other people.
Absolutely.
Okay. Yep.
And then we go out into the community. We do about 25 external events where we can do free tune-ups for the community. So last weekend we were at Earth Day PDX, and we did about 27 free bike tune-ups there. And throughout the summer, we're to be at each of the Sunday parkways doing free bike tune-ups.
Very cool. You'll have a tent or something like
Absolutely,
that?
Absolutely,
yeah. Okay. Nice. I love the Sunday Parkway tent setup because there's so many people out there doing so many good things. Some of them make burritos. But, yeah, a lot of tents. So, also, we have some guests that just joined the studio.
That just walked in.
Hello. How's it going? And one of them is Anna, and I don't know your name, but what was your name?
Betsy,
Anna's mom. Hello, good to see you. Pull up a stool, help yourselves. And there's beer in the middle of the room if you want some.
Do we have cups?
We have, you know what? There's a fancy Sprocket podcast mug that Sebastian commissioned for us
right
over there.
Right.
So, yes.
Right. You guys can share the mug.
There's the second one.
That's right. And I think there's one more glass on the ground there, too. We're doing this is a project to get people connected with bikes.
Absolutely.
One of those things that I read about in the news was the Central City Concern.
There
was a new shop that was just opened in conjunction with them. So Central City Concern is they work with people in transitional.
Absolutely. They have several, probably a dozen buildings down there doing different things, but they have a transitional housing is their biggest thing.
Okay. So people coming like from living outdoors or some other
absolutely there are people from all walks of life, whether it's dealing with addiction, homelessness, coming out of prison. There's people who would transition is basically the people that are down there. So you'll meet a whole wealth of people.
Right. And so the shop just opened.
Yep. We opened, I think, the first week of March. It's called Chain Reaction.
Okay. Yeah.
It's located in their estate building down in the basement. So they provide the space there. And then they have all these abandoned bicycles that come through their population and get left in the rooms. And they were to donate the bicycles to us. So this has been a whole year-long collaboration on what to do with these bicycles. And we thought the best way to do it was to replicate our shop down in their location, bring our shop to them, the tools, the tool benches, the stands, and the volunteers to come teach. So we do 4 nights a week, 3 hours each night, where their clients can come in, work with our volunteers, and refurbish the bicycles, the same thing we do in our shop.
That's awesome. And how's the participation?
It's a growing project. Mm-hmm. I think we've got about 7 bicycles that have been done in the first 2 months. So
okay.
Oh, that's great.
Definitely. It's something we're looking to expand upon, and we're always working on things, but it's a great project that's really flourishing down there.
Yeah. Well, I'm really excited about that because, and we've talked about this with a lot of other people, that the bicycle is a tool that helps people get from one stage of life to another. Like, for example, my car fell apart, and I think I've probably told this story before, but like in 2006, 2007, my car fell apart. I couldn't afford to fix it. My mom was nice enough to lend me another car, and I think eventually I bought it from her. But in the meantime, I was riding my bike, and I was kind of riding it everywhere. And if I hadn't had that, I wouldn't have had a job. I wouldn't have been able to get anywhere. So really, you could say that bicycling saved my life, I guess. But it's the same way for a lot of people. Like, the bicycle gives you transition options, like especially if you're dependent on transit, for example. Transit is great. We love transit, but it's also you're at the whim of the schedule of the bus.
Absolutely.
Or whatever else. So the bicycle gives you that independence and freedom.
And so, a lot of the clients are coming through their employment, and they need access to transportation that's not a bus pass. That's over $100, I think. So something that's easy to use and something that they can use whenever they want to. So,
yeah, totally. And what's the partnership with Central City Concern like? Is this their project now, or are you folks are working together on it?
They basically have granted us the space, and then they refer the clients to their Employment Access Center. We provide the tools and the volunteers to go down there. So they have the bikes already set up there. The clients come down, meet with our volunteers, find a bike that fits for them, and then we're working with our volunteers, start learning the bike maintenance process. So our big thing is really empowering people with these skills, because you can give these people a bike, but then you come down the road and it's like, oh, they don't know how to fix a flat tire, and so it sits in their apartment, or the brakes rub, and they just leave it there because they can't afford to take it to a shop. Now they have the skills and an outlet to come work on that bike, learn the skills, and feel empowered to work on maintaining bikes so they can continue their commute.
And that's almost a universal story. Like, you can give anybody a bike, and there's a lot of people that don't know what to do with them when they stop working.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
So, and the ultimate goal of that project is to have their clients become volunteers and kind of take on the mantle from our volunteers and kind of have a self-sustaining project.
Right.
Obviously, we're just in the first 2 months of the project, so we're still down there every week working with their volunteers. But it'll be an amazing thing to see that project grow.
That's super cool. That's great. Well, Scott, how long have you been with the organization?
I started in September of last year. Yeah,
nice. So you're still fresh then?
Absolutely.
Nice, excellent. And Andrew, how about you?
Just since October.
Okay, nice. So you guys came in together. You're both in the same class.
I was literally in the bike mechanic class.
Oh,
which brought me into it.
Gotcha.
Yes.
Okay.
Because I wanted to be like an advocate for bicycling. Partly because of our initial run-in.
Oh, right. Yeah, we should talk about that. Because I actually met Andrew down on the waterfront during the Bowie versus Prince ride
last
year's Metalpalooza.
Which one were you?
I was Bowie.
Team Bowie.
Yeah, so I was not wearing the mascara today.
you can't do it every day.
It was partly a matter of geography because I live in Southeast and that's where they were starting. I could have gone either way, frankly. But I didn't want to ride to Northwest Portland from 65th and Powell.
Although the Fields Park is nice. I would have hung out there.
All right.
But yeah.
Did you also start on the Prince side?
I started on the, I started on the Bowie side.
Oh, okay.
I'm more of a Bowie fan than a Prince fan, although both are awesome.
Right. So in terms of empowerment on bicycles, the Petapalooza event was really something for me because I've always felt alone out on the streets, you know, with cars driving by. But to find this community was really something. And then my friend got a flat as we were leaving from the Bowie Prince meetup. And was pulled over, and I had nothing I could do. Somebody else pulled over and then started flagging if anybody had a patch kit. Lo and behold, Brock shows up with the patch kit.
Yeah, is that what I had? Okay, because somebody else was actually doing the work. I just furnished the tools.
Okay, yeah. No, my friend was he's self-sufficient enough in knowledge, but he had no kit on him.
There we go. And yeah. I also didn't want to be the guy who's like, hey, let me do it for you. You know, because you can, again, it's... I feel dumb saying this. It's like the
you can
the teach
show
a man
a fish.
Yeah.
And you can eat a fish in front of a man.
Right.
And then you can fish with a person. And then you can put dynamite in a pond.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Yes.
There are different kinds of help. There's
right.
one help where you just superficially fix the problem temporarily. There's a deeper kind of help that we're all about at Bikes for Humanity, which is working with somebody and getting them to feel empowered to take it on themselves.
Right, right. It's like the opposite of mansplaining.
Exactly,
which,
yes.
Anna, you familiar with this?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, yeah, it's where a dude walks in and says, "Hey,
you're doing it right now. You're mansplaining, mansplaining to her."
Wait, do you know? Can I explain? Do you know what it is? Should I tell you what?
That's like an Inception, like two layers down thing. Yes.
No more. We're gonna end up in limbo.
Yes, and just in case anybody's worried, they are going to get mics pretty soon. So there's only so many. Anyways, it was this whole sort of thing. Like this is a chance for me to share my things that I have. I have a bunch of patches, and I don't have a flat tire.
Right.
And it's the Bowie versus Prince ride, so you know, like, they're going to stop at a bar in like 15 minutes. They're going to be there for 2 hours, so we got plenty of time.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Well, isn't that how it happened? Because like the most of the group had been up ahead of us. And we were working on that flat tire, and it took a while to fix.
Right. No, we were all taking off together, and then slowly every single person in the ride left us behind.
Right, until we were the last, the very last of all of
us. But we were our own sect. We were an offshoot.
Yes. Yeah.
We had our own camaraderie in the end.
So when we ended up at the bar, I believe it was 2 hours after we arrived. And they'd probably already been there for like an hour or something.
Right.
Or half an hour at least. And so we get there, and it was literally like 2 hours before we actually left again. So that's how it goes. Pedalpalooza. Everybody can do it.
Yes.
It's easy.
But
a month later, I'm riding around Mount Tabor, and somebody's shouting me, "Do you have a patch kit?" And I had to say no. I've yet to learn my lesson. And then I found out what's happening in my neighborhood. Bikes for Humanity was ideal.
Yeah.
And so now I have a patch kit, and I'm the new Brock.
Oh,
for the Pedalpalooza. Yes.
I can retire.
Yes.
That's good. I was hoping for that. Very good. So this is very cool. There was also, you had mentioned the Safer Routes to School. Is this a partnership between that and, is it PBOT that does that? I'm trying to remember now.
Indeed, yes. Safe Routes to School, it's a federal program that has programs in cities throughout the country. So PBOT goes into elementary schools in the city and does a two-week program?
I think so, yep.
Yeah, 2 weeks where they show kids basic bicycle riding safety, how to do it in a group, how to like be in your neighborhood safely. But so where we come in is that underprivileged children who are graduates and now know how to be self-sufficient bicycle commuters are not going to be able to ask their parents to get them a bike. So what we're doing is we are filling that need, or at least filling as much of the need as we can, with 120 bikes this year.
Aha.
So we're doing a grant event at Lent Elementary, June 6th and 7th, where we'll be giving away 40 bikes to the kids that the counselors and the teachers talk about who needs them the most, who's the most excited about getting a bike and furthering these skills. And we're doing that again in September and then again in December.
Very cool. So there's someone evaluating like the person's passion for bikes, because it would be lame if you had a bike and you gave it to a kid and they were like, "No, I wanted a skateboard."
I'm not sure exactly where the spectrum between need and passion.
Right.
It's a judgment call.
Sure.
The teachers know the kids.
But yeah, exactly. Yeah. They know them well. So that's great. That's very cool.
So we've set up the Chain Reaction shop downtown, and then so this next month we're really pushing to get 40 bikes ready.
Okay.
For this grant event.
Beautiful.
We have 30 right now, so, and we also are going to need 40 start from scratch for September.
Okay.
So our ask to your listeners,
I was gonna say,
right,
how
now
can people help?
Yes.
Oh, cue the drums.
Sorry. Go ahead. I'll be right there.
Oh wait. Oh yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so your ask is,
all right. Do you want to take this, Scott?
We need 24-inch kids' bikes. That's perfect for 4th, 5th graders as they're growing up, and something they can use for a couple more years and not just grow out of 1 year. So we need about 10 for this next event in June, but we'll have 60 more by the end of the year that we'll need. So that's something that, as you have kids that are outgrowing their bikes, give us the opportunity to refurbish those bikes and pass it on to the next generation of kids that will love riding. They take this class, they get all this enthusiasm, they don't have access to a bike. So we're trying to fill that need and provide some great bikes for some great kids who now love cycling.
Excellent. So how do people get these bikes to you?
You can call us at our shop, our Bikes for Humanity, and we can help you get that donation to us. We have a location on Powell 3354 Southeast Powell, where you can come and donate our bikes.
It's next to the the original Taco House, right?
Yeah, just down the street from
there. Yeah. And
contiguous with Bingo Books.
Okay.
It's the same building.
Oh yeah.
And De Nicola's, that neighborhood.
Is that is that the restaurant with the all you can eat spaghetti?
That's right.
I've never
That's
done right. that. I got to try that.
Oh, and I know where I'm going tonight now.
The Highland Mountain Shop. So, yes, also if people can't get you a bike physically, is there a way that they can give you money?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Definitely.
Excellent.
Yes. As much, you know, we're not going to refuse money. We're just very interested in having, essentially, because kids grow up so fast, these bikes just get abandoned. We want people to be aware of that and know that we are creating a system to get those bikes. We call it adopted. So we have, So in terms of like taglines, I was thinking end bikelessness.
End bikelessness.
Yes. I don't know if we'll get sued by, the Humane Society. Yeah.
Well, no, theirs is different.
It is different. Okay.
Theirs is different because it's not
about
bikes.
There's a whole word there. Yeah, there's a whole word of difference.
Yeah. So anyways, we
want to get bikes that are being neglected and get them under people, as you said.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very cool. And this is, I have not thought a lot about this, but the idea that kids' bikes are something that you buy and kind of like kids' clothes, that's why I always wore I didn't have any hand-me-downs from relatives because I was old. I was the oldest, yes.
Yeah,
I had sisters,
like
so nobody
clothes.
Got my hand-me-downs. But we did a lot of thrift shopping, and you know, bikes are probably the same way, where it's like they're good for a very specific time in someone's life where they are the right size for that bike. And then basically, either they sit in the garage or they get recycled. And I don't know if we did this with bikes. I remember when I was a kid, my mom like had us bag up a bunch of our toys and like we dropped them off. Apparently, somebody like you know couldn't afford toys for Christmas or something like that. Or maybe it wasn't even Christmas. Maybe it was just like the spirit of giving that lasts all year long.
Right.
But she was like, you know, get some of your stuff and give it away. And so we did. And this is a good idea because otherwise they just sit in a barn or a shed or your garage or right. out in the yard and rust. But yeah.
I don't want to go on a rant about American consumerism, but
do it.
Instead of purchase and waste, we have donation and adoption
right.
as our model.
Reduce, reuse, recycle.
Yeah.
Well, except for the reduce. Like we want to keep the number of bikes. Like we want more bikes.
Indeed. Yes, we do.
Yeah.
But not the not the cheap ones. We want to value the bikes that are already out there, especially in this climate, folks just leaving them in their carports, exposed to the elements.
Right. I would imagine you guys see some pretty terrible bikes.
Oh yeah,
bikes in terrible condition.
We call them the Burning Man bikes that have come back. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Like they were out on the playa for too long.
Absolutely.
Nice.
But, you know, we bring life to anything that we have because we have tons of used parts that we can reuse them.
Yeah.
And most of the bikes we don't really scrap them unless they have damaged frames. So.
Okay, yeah.
Our big thing is sustainability.
Nice. That's awesome. I was curious, do you guys, are there any, like, established relationships with other, like, because I know, for example, the bike farm, we know some folks that are involved there. Are you guys connected to them in any way? Any sort of, like, because you do similar things? I'm not going to say it's the same, though.
Yeah, we all have the similar mission. So at Bike Farm, we participate in the Fix-It Fairs, and we both do free tune-ups at the Fix-It Fairs.
Okay.
And there's other organizations. There's a new one, Rosewood Initiative, that is starting way out east, and we're granting 20 bikes to them to help them start their own co-op way, I think it's out past 181st Street.
Yeah.
So in the Rosewood area.
Yeah.
Yeah, so at these Fix-It Fairs, we're side-by-side with Bike Farm, just servicing a line of bikes that folks in the neighborhood have brought in.
Very cool. Oh,
I don't know what kind of record we have, but I feel like we get like 20 bikes tuned up in one of those days.
That's not bad.
Yeah. Well, are you familiar with the Fix-It Fairs that Peabot does?
Not very well, no. So, I should be more.
So they periodically will set up in a gymnasium at an elementary or high school, and they will have all of the organizations excited about sustainability in the city, like the folks that pick the fruit, they around those guys.
Yeah, I forget what they're called. It's different than the gleaners, right? Or is it because gleaners are like grocery store?
Oh right, yeah,
leftovers.
Yeah. No, they've got a very snazzy name. It's just Fix-It Fair season's over, but and then we're in the corridor by the kids' restrooms.
Okay,
just having folks bring up by their bikes and then doing one at a time, putting them on the stands. And we get four stands combined with the Bike Farm folks.
Nice.
And just with our volunteers get to work on their skills, and the bikes get back out there. Because as we were talking about before, a flat tire, you know, arises and folks don't know what to do about it.
Well, it's a crippling thing. Like
exactly.
We,
yeah,
you know, we all spend time around bikes, so we know what to do about a flat tire, but not everybody does.
Exactly. And then that happened in Normandale Park when we were at the Earth Day event this past Saturday.
Right, yeah.
Folks are just like walking by. They see this event. They see us. And they say, are you going to be here for another hour? And then they run to their garage, get their bicycle.
Back.
Yeah.
Yeah, there are people that follow us around town to each of the free events that we do.
Nice, nice.
Each bike a different time, so.
Well, the cool thing about this whole like social benefit bike fix idea is that you're not really competing with anybody else, you know, because like the Community Cycling Center is another one I think of that they have a similar like, you know, taking bikes and turning them around. Really, when the goal is more bikes for more people, you don't lose if other people are doing the same thing.
So, absolutely.
That's kind of cool.
So now we are a 501c3 nonprofit as of February.
Tax deductible donations, baby.
Yes, there.
So ka-ching.
You're really pushing this. I appreciate
I am.
That. Yeah.
I want people to support you because
okay.
This is a good thing.
So grant writing is one way where we're now competing with folks, but we're more into the grassroots, hands-on. So this past weekend, we did two events. One was out at 82nd for the Avenue of the Roses parade.
Oh, right.
We were at Eastport, which was kind of it was a car show, so we were kind of out of place, but we're still there. We're still representing the bike community.
Yeah, well, that's
as best
it.
We could.
In the belly of the beast, as it were.
Yes. Yeah, and then we were out at Normandale Park, and we were mostly run by our board of directors. We had four of our board of directors out there wrenching on bicycles.
Very cool. Well, that's another cool thing is like the higher ups or whatever. Like this is gonna be just another cheesy thing, but not afraid to get their hands dirty. It's the idea that everyone involved is involved because of a passion for bikes.
Right.
And a passion for connecting them with people. So that's awesome.
We do provide the gloves, though, if you don't want to literally
there we
get
go.
Hands dirty.
Nice.
Yes.
Are they nitrile or non-nitrile gloves?
They're the nice ones.
Okay.
I think one of our volunteers has his own private stash that he keeps in the
nice.
Back.
Really?
Nice.
Really?
Yep.
It's not a bad idea, really. Yeah. Well, I'm curious for both of you. Are you either of you from Portland or from the Northwest?
Nope. I'm from the Midwest.
Okay. Where are you from?
The Chicagoland area.
Okay.
It's been here about exactly 2 years.
Nice. Nice. What's your take on Portland versus Chicagoland?
It's got similar things. I love being able to go out in 30 minutes. You get so many hiking trails and see nature and everything. That was my big drawing point out here. But similar kind of bike community, but not a lot of commuters. And just a nice time to ride.
Nice. That's great. And you, Andrew?
I'm from Monterey, California.
Ooh.
Central Coast.
Nice.
Yes. I came here in 2005 to go to school. And then I went back for a little bit, 2008, and I'm also back about 2 years now.
There we go.
Yeah.
So, personal interest question from me.
Yes.
Do you love or hate Steinbeck?
I love Steinbeck, yes.
Because that's kind of his town in
yes.
a way. But, yeah, nice. Very cool.
Very much so. I'm actually from Salinas, where he actually grew up. Yes.
There we go. Yeah.
But it doesn't have the same cachet.
Right, right. Well, yeah, Cannery Row and such. It's all out there.
Right.
Yeah. We got stuck in the rain there.
In Monterey?
Yeah, Monterey.
Yeah, that's where my derailleur cable
that's right.
snapped.
Because we were trying to go to your brother's friend's house, and it was like at the top of everything.
Sergeant Boyson.
That's
yes.
right.
Thank yeah, you. Yeah, that's right. It was on top of everything, and I was stuck in the lowest because it snaps back to the lowest.
Oh, yeah.
But before that, we were entering on the freeway for a while, or highway.
Yeah.
Coming from Santa remember. Cruz, the Highway 1?
We had come from there.
Yeah, we were like in downtown Monterey, and then
okay.
I don't remember the name of the town that we were going to.
Oh, we were going
outside.
To Carmel, yeah.
Or, yeah, Carmel,
like
outside of
Like the very height of Carmel. Yeah.
Right, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, and we had to get on the highway for a little bit, and it was about the time we were getting on the highway that my derailleur cable snapped. And so,
oh, that's
like,
right.
As I'm gearing up to like get some speed, my feet just start flying.
Yeah. That was a good time. It was a better time
once
we fixed the cable.
Yeah, once we got... And so then, yeah, it was the next day that we went to fix the cable, and we just got dumped on.
Yeah.
We ended up hiding in this barn for a while from the rain.
That's right, yeah. So anyways, it's a beautiful area. But
it was.
Agreed.
It was, despite maybe because of the rain.
Right.
I don't know.
Welcome to Portland, both of you. Yeah, and welcome
you.
To Bikes for Humanity, because that's it's cool. Like, I like that you know, you've only been here a short while, but you're already doing something good for people in this place. So that's awesome.
Right. Our founder is referred to us to Bikes for Humanity, the Next Generation.
Oh, nice. TNG.
Yes. I was thinking about who we would be cast as, but we're just both Riker, I think.
Very nice.
But he is going on a 10-year bike journey in August.
Oh, I read about this.
Yeah, it was mentioned in the Jonathan Mouse article.
Yeah, Moss. But yeah, Bike Portland. You. Yeah. Yeah, he what was it? He has been doing this for a while and just said, hey, it's time for me to go and bike tour.
Exactly, yes. Yeah. It has been his life for 10 years. We're having our 10-year anniversary right now. I think it was May.
Yeah, May 31st when we started at our shop will be 1 year having an actual retail location open to the public.
There we go.
Right.
Before that, it was in several people's houses and kind of moved around for a little bit. And so for 7 years, it was in a residential area in someone's garage.
Okay.
So now we have a place that's open 6 days a week and very accessible to the public on a full-time basis.
That's good. That's useful. Yeah. Well, I was thinking of Nathan Jones, who comes up on this show more and more.
Yes.
He should have his own show.
He should, actually. The Ride Your Bike podcast.
Seriously. But no, he's running his shop out of a garage right now. Yeah. And, you know, it's awesome that he's doing it. But it's not in a retail location, so it's a little harder to find. You don't get people to just kind of stumble upon it. So it's nice to have a storefront. Yeah.
What neighborhood is he in?
He's on Gladstone Street, kind of up on the flats, like
Foster Powell
50s, 60s. Yeah,
okay, I've
like
noticed
that. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
By, what is it? That really Kenilworth Park.
Probably. You know,
it's near that. Yeah.
I'm embarrassed because I've actually never been by his shop yet. So someday soon. But yeah.
There's some signage there on Holgate, I believe, is where I saw it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. With the hummingbird and the wheelie. Yeah. It's a good logo. What else are you guys excited about? I was just wanted to toss the open-ended question out there. What's cool in the world of you right now?
I'm just gearing up for a great summer of cycling.
Yeah.
You know, things are finally picking up at the shop and, you know, getting a lot of commuters out there and getting out to enjoy bicycling for myself. I lived here 2 years, but I really haven't been active in the bicycle community until about last year. And
okay.
You know, being able to experience Pedalpalooza and all the nice little touring events around here is thing I'm really looking forward to.
It's the high holy holidays of cycling. They're coming soon. Yeah. And Pedalpalooza is easy. You just go on a ride. And then, you know, it's all free.
And you fix someone's flat.
Life is free. Yes. Yeah. And friends are to be made. So, Scott, are you going to do out-of-town rides as well, or are you more of an around-town sort of guy?
I'm challenging myself to go farther and farther out of town and do some more bike touring, but I've got a lot to learn and a lot of time on my hands right now, so
nice.
We'll see what's going on.
It's a good time for it. What's your do you have any ideas in mind of, like, where you might go next?
I'm looking the Oregon coast, maybe.
Oh, nice.
Something there. And I've talked to a lot of people that have done that before and kind of getting prepared for that.
That's a good place to go when it gets warm, too, because, like, it's always at least, like, 10 degrees colder there than it is inland.
So, absolutely.
Yeah. You're gonna feel good.
Cape Lookout has some great bike camping.
Awesome.
Yeah. It's between that and Stubbs Stewart of my favorite, like, bike camping locations. Yeah.
Yeah. Stubbs Stewart probably my favorite just because it's so easy to get to.
Yeah. Stubbs Stewart doesn't have a water feature, which is its big draw. I mean, there's that like frog pond in like the back corner. It's not really near anything. There's no running water. I mean, there's running water, but there's no
like
stream.
It's like rain-fed pond.
Yes. Yeah, and frog-fed,
yeah.
I would imagine. It might be cyclical. No. So, yeah. And Andrew, for you.
Similarly, I've been inspired to create a Pedalpalooza ride, which we'll
nice.
Be doing Wednesday, June 17th.
Ooh.
And it's maybe the nerdiest bike ride that you could take.
Do tell.
Yes. It is the wonderful world of bike nonprofits
nice.
In Portland.
And you're going to visit every, like, nonprofit?
Yes.
That is awesome.
On the east side. So we're going to start on Community Cycling Center and then kind of wind our way to Bikes for Humanity. And we're working out something with Hub to end there.
Hopworks,
that's
the
great.
Urban Brewery.
Exactly.
Nice.
Yes.
That's going to be awesome.
That's an amazing ride.
All right.
Maybe or not, I think that is a really awesome idea.
6 p.m. Community 6 Cycling Center, Wednesday, June 17th.
That's right.
I got to amend my time off request.
Do it. Go on this ride. It's going to be awesome. So, yeah. Well, thank you both for coming in. And it's, I want to say I've got it memorized, but I don't. Is it Bikes for Humanity, the number 4? .org?
It's nicely abbreviated B4HPDX.
Oh, okay.
.org.
There we go.
Yes.
There we go. Excellent.
Verbally, Bikes for Humanity.
Gotcha. Yes. So again,
B4HPDX.org.
.org. Not .com.
Because they dot org. Are 501c. Exactly.
That's right. That's right. Because they deserve it. That's why. Beautiful. Well, cool. Thank you both for coming in. Really appreciate that. And thank you for doing what you do and keep doing it.
Oh, so, absolutely.
Thank you.
Yeah, for sure. Well, should we switch this up? Should we get these people in the seats?
Let's get the Okies on the mic.
Sounds like a plan.
I'm going to pause and save.
Excellent. Quick. Thanks. Always save. Save your work. Is this the most people we've ever had in the studio at once?
This might be it.
Okay.
This might be our record day.
I think, yes, it definitely is. It's a banner. It's a, red letter day.
Five was our record, previous record.
Quite true.
Oh, look at this.
Oh, my goodness, there's red vines.
Yeah, I want to drink my...
Or just pass them around, maybe.
I want to drink my ginger beer out of a red vine.
Oh, you should try.
I'll be eating with...
And I have a red rye. I wonder if I could drink my red rye beer out of...
You should drink your red rye with
find
the
out
red
what's,
vine.
What's happening here.
Thank
yeah.
you very much.
If both of you just pull the mics like about an inch from your mouth or so, more or less.
So everyone can hear me chewing.
That's right.
We'll all be chewing, so no one will know which one it is.
That's right.
I'm going to try this out here.
Yeah, I wonder if is drinking beer through a red vine a good idea anyways? Like, I don't know if this is...
No, but hummus on one is good.
Oh, that's right. We tried hummus on a red vine.
That's fascinating.
It was good.
Wow. I got to try this. What kind of hummus was it?
Just something Aaron brought over.
Yeah, it was Fred Meyer brand.
Okay.
Mediterranean hummus.
Nice. Yeah. Well, I am intrigued at this point. Well, Anna, introduce your mom.
This is my mom, Betsy.
Hi.
She's from Oklahoma. We have the same birthday.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
She was my little birthday present.
I was 9 pounds, I think.
Almost.
Yeah, large.
Well, that must have been, that's quite the birthday present. You're in Portland today. How long have you been here?
2 days.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Visiting Anna.
Yeah, have you been here before or is this your first time?
No, I've never been to Portland.
Nice. Welcome to the West Coast. Yeah.
Thank you.
It's intense.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, I've never been to Oklahoma, so we're even. Well, actually, we're not because I still need to go now.
Now you have to go.
Yeah.
It's different from here. Mm-hmm. In many ways.
I hear you ride some bicycles sometimes.
Yes. Well, when I'm here, it's, you know, the thing about Oklahoma is you can't really, in Tulsa, where I was raised, it's suicide to try to actually use a bicycle to get around.
Okay.
Because it's a city like many cities in the newer parts of the country that grew up with the automobile, and there is absolutely no accommodation for bicycles on the roads.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Mm-hmm.
So you say that you don't ride there then?
Not anymore.
At one time?
Oh, in college.
Okay.
And I'll tell you... one of the things I wanted to talk about today was the bicycle phenomenon of the 70s.
Yes. Yeah, this is a historical thing. This is some straight history right here.
And you all, you know, I'm a different generation than probably most of your listeners and definitely everyone in this room.
You're like 35, right?
And, yeah, well, 36.
Okay.
And, I went to college really early in the 70s.
But yeah, that
even
was...
Even though I went to college in Oklahoma, in Norman, Oklahoma, at OU, where Anna also went, the bicycle phenomenon extended there.
Uh-huh.
Even though it was not bike-friendly, it became, for a brief period of time, bike-friendly.
Right.
Because so many people joined in with its bike fed, which was part of the hippie... It was an offshoot of the hippie era.
Uh-huh.
You know, I literally wore... We called them bell-bottoms back then. Now they call them, like, flared.
I like flared pants.
Flared.
I need more of them.
And tie-dyed shirts, which have come back, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't like the tie-dye as much, but that's just a preference thing.
Well, back then, you tie-dyed your own shirts.
I do like to do it yourself.
It would bleed onto your skin because you use the dye. Would run, dye. Yeah.
You wouldn't heat treat it. And,
no.
Yeah.
But the bicycle thing was, let's save energy, you know, let's save the earth. I actually had a t-shirt that said, save the earth.
And, yeah, and it, that was around the time of the oil embargo. Am I remembering that correctly?
Yes.
Okay, so and it was like oil was causing war, and war meant that we had fewer fuels to burn. And
there was actually less gasoline available, and that was a practical reason that a lot of people started buying bicycles. But it was also the, you know, rebellious college hippie type.
Uh-huh.
You know, let's not do what our parents did and buy giant Cadillacs and huge, you know, 12-cylinder Buicks.
Right.
And, you know, drive them everywhere using up, what, 5 miles per gallon.
Yeah.
Fuel.
So the fuel standards, the economy standards are a little bit better today, but it's funny because there's like kind of a similar sort of thing. Like there's a sect of people that are, again, upset with war for oil and upset with cars and like let's turn this thing around and do something differently.
Everything,
what are the parallels and what's different?
Cycles. You know, back then, the actual bike phenomenon back then was so big. It was, there are still people in Norman, Anna can talk to you about, you know, that segment of the population in Norman now better than I can, the greenies, I guess you'd call them now. But the... And I think the mentality was the same, and it was the same age group, and it was a similar kind of the gentle-spirited, you know, loving people, loving the earth type of mentality. But in the 70s, it was almost more a fashion thing. You had to have, you know, we called them 10 speeds back then.
Yeah, yeah.
And everyone made them, you know, Schwinn made the whole range. I don't know what they do now, but the Continental was the big...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's their touring model.
Okay, well,
was
half of my tall bike.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And all the European brands came over, you know, Peugeot and Raleigh and some that don't exist anymore. But there were multiple bike racks in front of every building on campus. And it's kind of bled out into the cities, too, not just college town, but... It was the kind of bike racks with the slots.
Oh,
the
yeah. The taco maker.
The wheel maker.
Yeah.
Yes.
You had to put your wheel, you know, and you had to, you couldn't do the sideways lock the frame in both wheels.
Right.
You know, people would, you know, say things about you and leave notes on your bicycle.
I did that, and somebody left a note on my bike, like back in 2007 or 8 or something like that. Yeah.
Back then, you absolutely couldn't because there was no room. I mean, they were jammed in there.
Right. It's like the guy who takes up 3 parking spaces with his large vehicle or something at the grocery store. Yeah.
I'm just trying to get across how many.
Yeah, there was a lot.
Portland.
Keep in mind, this is Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Whereas
you
can, on a good day, find bike racks full of bicycles in Portland.
Totally.
Well,
in Oklahoma, no.
No, but this leads me to question, like, so you've been here for a few days. You've seen a lot of... Would you say the comparison between what you saw in Oklahoma in the 70s and what you saw in the days that you were here, were there more biking in the 70s than there are now?
On the way here,
and it might
saying?
Not be like a one-for-one comparison because we're talking about two different times and two different cities as well. But
I was in such a concentrated, it's a small college town where that was really the only thing there was the big university. So it's kind of hard to compare. But I'll tell you one thing that I think I've wondered for many years: what happened to all those people who were riding those bicycles in Oklahoma? In
Andrew is asking
and
the same question with his hands.
Now I know. Yeah. They're here.
Oh, okay.
They came here. I've seen people my age riding their bikes here.
Yeah.
Because they're not, they're either, the ones who stayed in Oklahoma, if they continued riding their bikes, are either dead or permanently injured. So they're not, now they're on the recumbent ones or, you know, something like that they used their hands for, you know.
Adaptive cycling.
Yeah.
Because the traffic hazards are so bad. But yeah, I think that all those people came here.
Many of them moved west.
Yeah.
Based on our inventory, I think they came here with their 70s bikes.
There's a lot of Schwinn's here in town.
I have noticed a lot of old bikes.
Yeah.
That's fascinating.
And when I bought my daughter, my older daughter, Pearl, her first 10-speed, I looked on the internet and I got an old one off of eBay because I didn't trust these flat bikes. You know, what are these? The flat framed.
How do you mean?
Like the new like tubing and whatnot.
Yeah, because the. I think I know what you're saying. So, like the forks in the front, like they have a flatter look to them.
It's the whole frame.
What is that? I say it's some old bullshit. I like the old ones. I like the classic Schwinn.
That's right.
Do you mean like aluminum with the larger tubing, maybe? Newer bikes?
Yeah. I'm not looking ones.
Yeah, they all just have like the flatter tubing that is like more aerodynamic.
Yeah.
There was something to be said for the design style of the Schwinn Continental. I'm a big fan.
And those European ones with the fancy lug work on the joints.
Are you pro or anti-lug?
Oh, I love them.
Okay. Yeah. Nice.
Pretty classy.
They used to, on some of the fancier European ones, they would paint like little gold lines around the
edges. Sure.
Little pinstriping?
Little filigree, yeah.
And have it all scrolly and everything.
Yeah. Looks like the cover of like a fancy hardcover book or something like that. A first edition Schwinn. That's beautiful.
Yeah, but hopefully a lot of those people did go on to become, you know, bicycle riders that actually used their bikes for commuting. I tried it for a while when I moved to Tulsa after college, and it was just too scary.
That's interesting. Well, because I know Ellie Blue was there with Joe Beal and their vegan chef for the Dinner and Bikes Tour, and they were saying that Tulsa was not the most hospitable place, but that there were some people. There's a kind of a hidden bike culture almost there.
Yes.
But it wouldn't be evident probably if you visited.
No, they have a very kind of limited routes that they go on that are fairly safe on the west side of town and west of town. Because in the main part of town, there is no shoulder on anything and people driving fast and they really don't look for you. But there is a group that likes to go on touring type rides, long rides. I used to go on my own, like, or with a friend and go those routes. And so there is some good bike riding around Tulsa. And you can get in touch with people there if anyone's visiting there. I don't know the names of the groups anymore. There used to be a group called the Tulsa Wheelmen. There's a free wheel ride, they call it every year, in Oklahoma that goes usually the whole north to south length of the state.
Oh, nice.
And a lot of people who don't normally ride bikes train for that. They hold organized training rides for that in Tulsa. And
getting people out.
Yeah. And so there is an element. And Norman, Anna should talk about the bike culture in Norman now. It's when I was there taking her to school or visiting her, the main thing I noticed was there were not nearly as many bikes as when I was there. Everyone has cars. You know, they drive like half a mile to school, and then they take, you know, 45 minutes, an hour to find a parking place.
And what is up with that? That's what we want to know. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, I don't understand it. But
are you saving any time in that car?
No.
You are not.
Is the answer.
Yes.
That's right.
But no one had cars when I was in college. Anna,
The shop where I worked, Al's, they offer this. Well, this might give you heart palpitations in Portland, but they offer lifetime free tune-ups with any bike
my goodness.
Bought there because that they can afford to. Because
nobody else does.
Yeah,
it.
Does.
Yeah. Wow. Well, they just don't have people will buy bikes and then. You sometimes wonder what happens to those bikes.
They go to the garage.
I get really excited when I see a bike out in Portland that I know came from our shop. It's exciting.
Nice.
You mean your shop here?
Yeah, here.
Although there might be one in Portland that came from...
Oh, I'd run you down. I would run you down and hug you and then ask you about how you like your bike.
Nice. I wanted to ask, what are you riding when you're visiting Portland?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm riding a Brompton.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll tell you what, you know, they're funny looking, but that thing rides like a 10-speed.
Mm-hmm. Which is good, right?
Yes.
Nice.
Yeah. Oh, wait, I'm keeping up with Anna. I know she's slowing down for me, but.
No, this is great. It's not a race. It's not a race.
I will say, like, you've been compared such a trooper. Compared to what I was riding back in Michigan, the Brompton that I had. Like, yours is kind of the deluxe model.
Ooh.
It has a rack.
Yeah, you got a back rack on there.
We special could probably
treatment. Put my panniers on it.
Yeah. Special
nepotism.
Well, congratulations.
Don't log me down.
Yeah. Last thing I wanted to ask was, what do you think about Portland as a bicycling city?
Oh, it's so great. I've never spent any time in a city like this that was so bike friendly, you know, and I'm coming from probably the least bike friendly city in the world.
But hold out hope. We don't know that yet.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure there's work to be done in here too. But, you know, one thing that I wish had happened with all those people in college who had those bikes was that they had continued some activism in making the cities bike friendly. Mm. And there are small groups that do that, but you know, you can't hardly find a bike lane in Tulsa or Oklahoma City or even Norman.
So this is a lesson for this era's crop of bicycle people. Like,
yes.
Don't give up the ghost.
Don't sit around, you know, if you want.
Oh, wait, hang on. Start again.
Okay. Yeah, don't sit around and think things ought to be better. You need to do something, because otherwise it'll just fizzle.
That's
I'm
right.
I'm telling you, I've seen it.
That's right. Get out there. Be involved in your public process.
Thank you, Mom.
Yeah, perfect. That's a good call to action. Thank you. All right. Well, it's probably about time for us to wrap up, eh?
Yeah.
All right.
That was 7?
What was that?
So we're at an hour 7.
Here, oh, we are. Look at us. Yeah. We've been having a good time.
Not bad for not having headlines in mail.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, we filled the time.
Betsy open her mail. Yeah.
So thank you all, yes. All four. And we got to get a picture with like all 6 of us in the studio, because this is going
to
be awesome.
We'll get the office manager to
come. Oh, yeah. You ready for this? For these credits?
Yeah.
All right.
Week number 2. Our website is thesprocketpodcast.com.
Email to thesprocketpodcast@gmail.com.
Call or text to 503-847-9774.
Twitter @sprocketpodcast.
Thanks to Ryan J. Lane for our theme music.
Hurt Bird for our headline sounder.
Marcus Norman for graphic design.
And thanks to our sustaining donors.
Dan Gebhardt, Zoe Campagna, John Blood.
Allison Wiley, Andy Brunner, Dave Nose.
Lars V, Chris Smith, Christy Kaster.
Caleb Jenkinson, JP Cooley, Peanut Butter Jar Matt.
Patrick Archain, Gabriel Trainer, and Sebastian Poole.
And scroll down.
Oh, and scroll down.
There's more. Marco Lowe, Rich Otterstrom, Andrew Alderson.
Drew the Welder. Someone else.
And Chris Iskukas. Everybody have a good one. Brush your teeth, go to bed. And what did you do, sir?
Well, one thing I did. Oh, motherfucker.
Computer issues.
Swear at GarageBand.
See, that's why we have the backup.
Yeah, I'm not even going to bother going back and figuring out what we lost here.
Oh, don't worry about it. I'll figure it out later.
Hit record again.
That's right.
That hasn't happened in a long time.
Oh, wait.
Welcome to the Sprocket Podcast, where we are simplifying the good life. For those of you who don't have headphones, he just played the intro music.
Okay.
Oh, we could have shared the mic, I guess.
Maybe.
But then we couldn't overlap.
We probably could. It'd be like a Bruce Springsteen, like, Van Zandt action.
Yeah.
In the streets. Sorry.
Here it comes.
Listening to Open Roads Broadcasting.